I've entitled today, Seeing the Lord. And that really is going to be the theme of what we see today. Abraham is very literally today going to visibly see the Lord. Now, we know that he knows the Lord, that he has seen the Lord in spirit as God has come to him now, supernaturally in spirit and spoken to him. But we're going to see God reveal himself in a brand new way to Abraham. And remember, we keep seeing God revealing himself to Abraham in new ways each week. Even as God reveals himself to us in new ways each week, as we spend time in his word and time in his prayer, this week God is going to be revealing himself to Abraham in a visible way, a very tangible way. Yes, in bodily form, and we may not see the Lord in bodily form until he comes back to receive us, but we too will see God in very tangible ways. God will reveal himself to us in very visible and tangible ways. And we're going to see that God not only wants to reveal that to us, God wanted to reveal that to Abraham, and God wanted to reveal that to Sarah as well. Now, Abraham throughout the scripture is an example to us concerning the faith. We all know that. Abraham is known as the man of faith. But we're also going to see as we go through this passage today, Abraham being given really as a man of example. That is, we're going to see that he's a man in his worship. He's a man in his life. He's a man in his attitude toward God that is commendable and is worth imitation. And so Abraham, again, now much more mature in the Lord. Again, he didn't start this way, but as the years go by, he's growing in faith. He's growing in witness. He's growing in example. And we'll see that today as an example to us. And again, we're also going to see, as we said, God revealing himself to Sarah as the Almighty, that he can do anything. And I know that God wants to do that for you today. I know that. And I believe that if we ask God to do it, and one of the things we're going to do before we're done today, when we pray, is we're going to ask God to reveal himself to us as the El Shaddai. I want to see him that way, don't you? I want to see God in his power. I don't want to just go to church, be religious, whatever it might be. I want to see his power. You know, my prayer oftentimes is, where's the God of Elijah? I don't say that in a disrespectful way. Remember Elisha. After the mantle was passed from Elijah to Elisha, Elisha goes back now to the water. When he was with Elijah, Elijah touched with his mantle, that is his robe, he touched the water and the Jordan split and they walked across on dry ground. Well, now he gets the mantle of Elijah after Elijah has been carried to heaven in the chariot of fire. He walks back to the Jordan to go back home and he asks a question. He says, where is the God of Elijah? And then he smacks the water and the water splits. And what God was showing Elisha was, I'm right here. And what God wants you to know today is, I'm right here. Not only the God of Elijah and the God of Elisha, but the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God who said, let there be, and he is. This is the El Shaddai. And not only El Shaddai, but as we'll see today, he's going to reveal himself in a new way as Jehovah. And so, again, exciting passages. Let's get into it. Notice verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him, that is Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, again, sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day, that was a very normal thing to do. I won't say that culture, it's not really cultural, in that day, because, again, in the Middle East, they still do the same in certain areas. Maybe not necessarily the tent door, and probably the Bedouins do, but it gets very hot in certain areas and down toward Beersheba and all these areas, where Abraham would have been. And in the heat of the day, there's not much you can do. In the morning, you do your chores. In the afternoon, you do your chores once it gets cooler. But in the heat of the day, man, you get in the shade, you open up the tent doors is what they would do. They would let the breeze blow through and you'd basically sit there and just veg out for a while. It was a time of eating. They would have lunch there in the middle of the day because you couldn't work. They'd go ahead and eat. They would take it easy. They would, kind of a nice thing, don't you think? Middle of the day. And you might want to suggest that to your boss at work. Bob is going to have something to eat. Just prop the door open for a couple hours. Take it easy. I don't think that would work. But again, then the heat would really be on you. But again, it's because of the heat of the day here he does this. And so notice it goes on and says, so he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. And then notice in verse 4, and we're going to go back, but notice verse 4, please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And so again, notice where, again, the Lord comes now to see Abraham and meets him here under this tree. And again, he's going to be revealing himself in greater ways to Abraham. But again, notice this here. For some reason, Abraham, and we don't know why, he recognized that these were no ordinary visitors. Now, I don't know what it was that tipped him off. It doesn't say that he was glowing. No, he came as a man. And he brought with him, we're going to see these other two men that were with him that came as men were angels. So the Lord and an angel on, you know, on either side of him, he comes with these angels and he's revealing himself. Well, somehow Abraham recognizes that this is the Lord, and he runs up to him and he bows down. Again, this is what we call a theophany or a Christophany. And that is the Lord appearing to mankind in human form. That's what theologians call the theophany and the Christophany. Now, it's interesting here. The word bow here means to fall down prostrate. It's, again, this sign where he went to him and he just got down on his face before the Lord, recognizing that he was the Lord. And again, not bowing to any man this way, but this being the Lord, bowing face down before him. And what impresses me about Abraham in this scene is his reaction when he was inconvenienced by the timing of their visit. I mean, this was the time that you ate lunch and rested. So number one, he was inconvenienced by the time of their visit, but also he laid aside any concerns about seeming undignified in the way he worshiped the Lord. Note that. See, this was public. Remember, he had many servants. All their tents would have been set up around there. He had over 300 years and years ago. Who knows how many he had now of the men. He probably had, you know, over 500 people there that are now part of this moving entourage of Abraham. And the Lord shows up, and what does Abraham do? Number one, note this, he runs to the Lord, and number two, he bows down prostrate. Now, why do I draw your attention to that? Remember, in that culture, running for an older person was considered a no-no. That was undignified. It was only the youth that ran. The older were dignified. They took their time. They walked from place to place. You just didn't run. You were seen as lesser if you did. Abraham didn't care. He don't care what people think. That's the Lord. And he ran to him. Reminds me of Peter when he threw his robe off and dove in to get to the Lord, you know, there at the shore. He said, I don't care. And what I love about him, not only that, when he went to worship the Lord, he bowed down before the Lord in a way saying, you know what? I don't care if this seems undignified. I don't care if this seems like something I shouldn't be doing. I don't care if it's even publicly, this is the Lord. And I will give him the glory and honor that is due his name. Guys, how many of us are afraid to even raise our hands and clap during the worship time? Are we free to worship the Lord and give him the glory that's due his name? Again, I'm not saying that you have to. You know, you don't. If you don't clap, that doesn't mean you're not worshiping. If you don't, you know, raise your hands, it doesn't mean you're not worshiping. He even bowed down before the Lord in the midst of his worship. The point is this. Here's the question. Are we free to worship the Lord the way that he should be worshiped? Or do we think that maybe the people next to us will think it is undignified? Oh, how could you clap in church? How could you raise your hands in church? Abraham didn't care. And how we need to have a heart like Abraham to say, you know what? You are worthy, Lord, of my praise. And whatever I feel in my heart to do, I am going to do. I am going to praise you. And I don't care if all the others and all the tents around me, I don't care if they see me and they say, there goes Abraham again. He's at, you know, whatever, and he's there is doing whatever. No, he said, I don't care. You're worthy, and I'm going to give you that praise. Guys, I think we need to challenge ourselves with that. We need to give the Lord the glory that's due his name. Now, remember, it doesn't mean now, we come to the last song, and you're going to be thinking, okay, Pastor Mark's going to be watching, and if I'm not clapping or raising my hands, he's going to go, aha! No, I'm not saying that. Does it mean you're unspiritual if you don't raise your hands? No. Does it mean you're unspiritual if you don't clap? No, it's the attitude of the heart. Does it mean you're unspiritual if you don't bow down? No, it's the attitude of the heart. But here's what I'm saying. If God is moving in your heart to clap and to raise your hands and to bow down, you're free to do that. Because God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of all the glory we can give him. And the thing that we need to challenge ourselves in is, you know what? Are we really at a place here to where we feel free to do that? Are we free to worship the Lord, regardless of what people think? I remember when that freedom came. And I have to admit to you, when I first came to the Lord, I felt so much in my spirit. I wanted to raise my hands. I wanted to clap, but it was like, oh, they'll think I'm weird. And you almost feel this kind of, I can't do it. Your arms get, you know, it's like this stiff, you know, type thing. And I remember when God said, you know what? Do you really care about what they think or what I think? Lord, I care about what you think. And I can remember the first time it was kind of hard. You know, you kind of do it and you're wondering, are people looking at me? There is such freedom now. I want you to have that freedom. I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm saying have the freedom of Abraham when it comes to worship. Realize that these are things that God has given us. They're expressions that God has given us. The Bible says, raise your hands to the Lord. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Give him praises and glory that's due his name. Be free in that. If you're not free in that, say, God, free me up in that. I want that. Now, we said earlier, God revealed himself to Abraham spiritually up to this point, but not yet in bodily form. That's all about to change. as the Lord now comes in bodily form to reveal himself to Abraham. And I find it interesting that when the Lord decided to reveal himself to Abraham in bodily form, note this, it was in the form of a man. Fully God, yet fully man. But it's not just interesting that he revealed himself to Abraham as a man, fully God, fully man. But what's also interesting to me is the way that he did it. Notice this. He revealed himself to Abraham, it says here in verse 4, next to a tree with a man on his left and his right. You know, Jesus Christ has revealed himself to us the same way today. You might say, well, I've never seen the Lord in bodily form. Oh, really? Guys, he was hung on a tree. And from that tree, he revealed himself as the Savior of the world, as the El Shaddai, as the Jehovah, as the one who died for our sins. And he had a man on his left and a man on his right when he revealed himself in that way, crucified with him. Now, I'm not saying that the two men on the left and the right were angels. I'm not taking this too far. I'm simply saying that it's interesting to me the way that the Lord revealed himself to Abraham is the same way he will reveal himself to you today. And that is next to a tree with a man on his left and his right. You see, Jesus went to the cross of his own accord. He hung on the cross that you might bow down, prostrate before that cross and give him the glory and the honor that is due his name. And to see him not only as Jesus dying for your sins, but as God in human form giving his life for you. And now Abraham is getting the opportunity to see him in this power and to see him the same way. And again, I believe that God may be revealing himself to some of you for the first time in bodily form on the cross this morning. And so allow the Lord to do that. It's interesting, the word Lord here is the word Jehovah, which literally means the existing one. It's the same word used back in Exodus 3 when God was speaking to Moses and he said, I am the existing one, I am Jehovah. And he said, what is your name? How can you encapsulate the existing one? What do I tell them you are called when I go down to Egypt? He said, tell them that I am has sent you. My name from this point on, the Lord said, will be I am. And again, it's one name in many names that the Lord calls himself by. But what I love specifically about the name of Jehovah, the name I am, is that it's not I was or I will be. It's I am right now. You see, God is saying, I just am. He currently is. Why is that exciting? He's not the God just of Elijah. He's not the God just of Moses. And he's also not just a God down the road who's going to do these great things the Bible tells about in the future with the rapture of the church and setting up his kingdom in Jerusalem. He is the God of today. He is the God of the here and now. He is your God this morning, right now, to move on your behalf as El Shaddai, to move on your behalf in power. That is the God that we worship. He is the I am. I love it. And again, further revealing who this Jehovah is, it's interesting when Jesus was asked in John 8 who he claimed to be. He said to them, I am. They said, who do you think you are? He said, before Abraham was. Interesting in context of Abraham, because he had said that he had seen Abraham's day. They said, when have you seen Abraham? Guess when Jesus saw Abraham? Chapter 18. Of course, he saw him before that, but Abraham, when did Abraham see Jesus? Chapter 18, because this is none other than Jesus Christ, a Christophany, Jehovah, the I am, Jesus Christ, as he revealed himself in John chapter 8:58, standing before Abraham here in this whole scene. It's interesting, in Isaiah 44:6, God calls himself by the name the Jehovah, or Jehovah, and notice what he says. It says, thus says the Lord, and again, that word there is what? Jehovah, the King of Israel and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. So declaring himself to be Jehovah, declaring himself to be the only God, and declaring himself to be the first and the last. So what is Jehovah? What does Jehovah call himself? The first and the last. Why is that interesting? Now look at Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18, because when Jesus was speaking to John in his vision, he said this, do not be afraid. Note this. I am the first and I am the last. Jesus declaring right here to be Jehovah, the very God of the Old Testament. But it gets more interesting. Notice it goes on and says, Jesus said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, am alive forevermore. When did Jehovah die and resurrect? Jesus Christ on the cross and Jesus Christ coming out of the tomb. So what's exciting about this scene is it's not just the Lord now coming to visit. This is Jesus. and a couple of angels. And there's Abraham bowing down at the foot of the tree, if you will, realizing now who this man is, that he's not just a man, but he's God in human form. And again, that's a realization that all of us need to come to if we're ever going to truly know who our Savior is in Jesus Christ. Notice he says, don't pass by in verse 3, if I have found favor, please let me bring a little water and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Again, water back in that day, they would travel in sandals and your feet would get dirty and it would be very uncomfortable to sit down and have fellowship with the dirty feet. You know, we don't like that. They didn't like it. And so they would wash their feet. He said, let me bring you some water so your feet can be cleansed. And also notice he offers to give them a meal now, again, appropriate for that time of the day being the lunchtime. He said, I'll bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. And after that may pass by insomuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. Now, again, notice we see the Lord here not only taking on human form with the angels, but notice when they take on human form, we see the Lord does that. We see the angels do that from time to time. But notice they even eat. They even eat. I mean, angels, this is amazing to me. And of course, it's not angels food cake. I'm sure they have that up there, but they could eat that down here if they wanted to. But notice this, in Hebrews 13:2, it says, forget not to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Isn't it wild to think that you may have run into an angel? They would have looked just like a man. They could have even eaten with you and you wouldn't have known it. Now, this is what kills me because it didn't hit me really till this morning. But I was thinking about this, you know, we may have run into angels, right? Wouldn't you hate to find out that the guy you were rude to that day turned out to be an angel? You ever had one of those things where you were rude to a total stranger? I've done that. We've all had our moments. Look back through your life. We've been rude to total strangers. Whether it's not yelling at somebody in a car or getting upset because they cut. I don't think an angel would cut. But anyway. Can you imagine getting up to heaven and going, oh, this is great. Hello. Oh, it's you. You were the guy. I was the guy. Oh, I'm so sorry for what I did and what I said. I know. Guys, we need to be on our toes. Listen, not just to be a general witness to the public, but you know, you think about it. What if we've been like rude to an angel? You know, again, I'm not saying that brings any consequences other than embarrassment and humility, but they're around us. Angels. It's amazing. He says, so you know what? Hey, these guys, you know, we need to be on our toes. And so, again, he tells them to refresh their hearts. Abraham hastened into the tent of Sarah, obviously very excited. He said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. Now, I love this because notice Abraham's desire to not only please the Lord, but to do it quickly. What a lesson this is for us. Again, remember, we talked about Abraham's immediate obedience. Now we talk about Abraham's wanting to do things to the Lord quickly. When he hears God's voice and he knows that God wants him to do it, he doesn't put it off, but he responds quickly. And what a great heart it is to have, like Abraham, that we would want to serve the Lord without delay. No delay. Now, you know, as they say, you know, with a little, you know, with on delay, a little more on and less delay in getting going for the Lord. And so notice here, again, it's interesting to me when we see how quickly he wanted to serve the Lord once he realized God was speaking to him. How many of us today want to wait for a more convenient time to serve the Lord? And maybe right now you're sitting there going, I want to serve the Lord, but I'll do it this summer when school's not in. Or I'd like to serve the Lord, but I think I'm going to wait until I'm not working so much. Or I'd like to serve the Lord, but you know what? I want to wait until the kids are grown. It's awful busy right now around the house, and I really can't get involved in serving at the church or being involved in ministry because it's just too busy. Not Abraham. Abraham said, Lord, I'm not only going to do it, I'm going to do it quickly. Interesting, notice he ran. Again, remember, running was undignified. Abraham's doing all these things. I don't care. He's like, I'm going to serve the Lord. I've heard the voice of the Lord. Let's get going. You know, Abraham could have said, well, you know, Lord, it's time for lunch and it is the heat of the day. Why don't we just take a break for a while? And when things get a little more opportune, then we'll get on with the business here of why you're here. He said, no, I don't care how hot it is in my life right now. I'm going to serve you. I choose to do what you've asked me to do and to answer your voice while I can. And you know what I say while I can? Remember, he was 99 years old. Guys, we don't know how long we're going to be able to serve the Lord. We need to understand that it's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord. There's going to come a day where we're not going to be able to. There's going to come a day where we're not going to be physically as strong and able to serve the Lord. How I wish I could go back to those teen years and give my life to Christ. I didn't come to the Lord until I was 25. But if I could go back to the time I was a kid, if I could go back to those teen years, that's when you're strong. You know, most scholars believe that the disciples were teens when the Lord called them. And if that is indeed the case, I can understand why. Strong, energy, ready to go. You know, now we're kind of like, you know, just trying to get out of bed, you know, using our hands to pick one leg up and set it down, right? The kids are like, you know, and you wonder how they're doing this. Sometimes I see them running around going, look what you're wasting. You're wasting all that. Give it to me. I mean, you wish you could just kind of go up to them and kind of, you know, download, you know, hit some kind of port there in the side. And go, ooh, okay, now they're a little bit more tired. You're like, yeah, you know. How good it would have been, guys, if we use our energy while we have strength. How many more days are we going to have strength? How many more days? And so we need to use that strength. And I love Abraham here at 99. You know, he probably didn't know how much more he had to go. And he's going to use that strength. No excuses. I'm not putting it off. I've heard your voice. I'm not going to wait for a more convenient time. I don't care how hot and heavy my life is right now. I'm going to serve Jesus. And if my life is too hot and heavy to serve, then I'm going to drop some things. Because it's time to get going. The day is short. And the night is quickly coming. Or, you know, going away with the day dawning, rather, when the Lord comes back. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. So notice it says, and Abraham ran to the herd. Here he goes running again. I love it. And he took a tender and good calf and gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. And so he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Now note this. I love this. It wasn't enough to hurry up and serve the Lord. He stood by to see if there was anything else that needed to be done. So again, we not only see Abraham desiring to serve and saying, I'm going to take the energy and the strength that I have and start serving, but what else can I do? Lord, I'm here at your ready. Your beck and call. You let me know what it is you want. I will do it. And he's standing by simply waiting on the next word from the Lord. Again, a heart that we need to have and something we need to learn from Abraham. And then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, well, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, he'd already told Abraham this, right? But Sarah had not heard the Lord say this. You notice, and Sarah was listening in the tent door behind them. You can imagine her ear up to the tent door. Now, again, it wouldn't be very hard to hear, but I can see Sarah in there and him saying, in the time of life, that is, in the time it takes to have a child, Sarah's going to have a baby. Now, this was not the first time Sarah had heard this. Abraham came home and said, guess what God told me? But you know what? It's one thing for your husband to tell you something or your wife to tell you something. It's totally different for the Lord to. And now Sarah, she, in all honesty, didn't truly believe. It's not that she thought Abraham was lying to her, but we're going to see that she lacked the faith to believe that Abraham had told her she was going to have a baby. She lacked the faith. And God now wanted to show himself to her as the El Shaddai, to increase her faith, to let her know that God has said it and God will do it. And you know, again, God works in those ways. There's a lot of times where God will tell one spouse something and he doesn't tell the other spouse that right away. And I think if we just pray and wait on the Lord, God will do that. I remember when God first called Tracy and I here to Knoxville. We had a home. We had a great Christian school that our kids were in. We were settled in. Things were great, you know, and all of a sudden I knew God had spoken in my heart and said, Mark, I want you to sell everything and go to Knoxville. Start over. Well, again, when you know that God, I knew that God had told me that. I was excited. I'm like, all right, Lord, whatever. Well, guess who hadn't heard that yet? And I remember sharing that with Tracy, and she was like, oh. Sell our home, start over, find another school, find a job, start over. And it was not that she was opposed to it, but it's kind of like she needed to hear God say that. See, I was all pumped up and excited. I heard the Lord. And I began to pray for God to speak to her. And I'll never forget the day she came to me and she said, guess what? She said, I guess it's time to pack up and move. She said, God spoke to me. And I know we're supposed to go now. See, here's what gave her the confidence. It wasn't just her husband saying God said we should go. Now God has spoken to her heart. And husbands, wives, hear me on this. If God has put something in your heart, share that with your spouse, but then pray and ask God to show it to them as well. We shouldn't have to coerce them. Let God do it. Let God speak in their heart about what needs to be done. God is more than able. And so Abraham knew this was the plan. Now Sarah needed to know this was the plan. And God in his faithfulness came and said, all right, I'm going to show myself to you as the El Shaddai, the same way I did to Abraham. You're going to see that I'm the Almighty. You're going to see that I can make you at 90 years old get pregnant. A womb that's dead, a womb that's a tomb is now going to resurrect. And from that resurrection in that dead womb, if you will, is going to come a son named Isaac who will be a type and an example of Jesus Christ as we see in the scripture. What pictures all through scripture God gives us. But again, she needed to know this, and she needed to meet the Lord in a brand new way. And you know, it's interesting. I think there are a lot of us today that when we hear the word of God, it causes the same effect in our life. Notice what she does here. It says, Abraham and Sarah were well advanced in age, And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. And notice, therefore, verse 12, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? Now notice, Sarah laughed even as Abraham did earlier, but for two very different reasons. Abraham laughed in joy and amazement. What a God I serve. This is incredible. Now we see Sarah laughing, going, there's no way. Come on, I'm an old grandma. I'm 90. I never could have a baby when I was young, much less now. And she laughs within herself. But what's interesting about her laughing within herself is that we're going to see that God hears her laughing. And again, God wanted to reveal to her that he was the El Shaddai. You know what? We only laugh at the word of God until we know him as the El Shaddai. There are people today that do the same thing. If you share the word of God with them, typically if you share certain stories like Jonah and the great fish or Noah and the flood, typically you get a reaction. For the believer, you get the smile of what a great God we serve. What a great God. A God that could take a fish, swallow a guy, drive him around for 3 days, drop him off on another shore and him be okay. What a God we serve. Where you tell that to the unbeliever and they say, yeah, give me a break. They laugh. They laugh all right, but it's a mocking laugh. It's a cynical laugh. It's the kind of laugh that goes, I don't believe that. You mean to tell me that you think some man could ride around inside of something for 3 days in the ocean and be dropped off somewhere else and be okay? I just can't believe it. Now I believe that man could do that because, again, I believe in man, and man can build a submarine that people can get in and ride around in the ocean and drop off on other shores, but not God. Man has that ability and that power, but not El Shaddai. You see, we believe that man can create a device that can swallow a human, drive them around in the ocean 3 days, and drop them off on another continent. But we don't believe that God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, could do what man could do? Can God not attain what mankind has attained? How sad that is to think that God couldn't, and if he couldn't, we wouldn't be here right now. Here's the bottom line. As once we know him as the El Shaddai, there's nothing impossible for God. God can do all things. You see, Sarah needed to know this. God knew that Sarah would mock. He knew that she would laugh. He knew that she would show unbelief at his word because she didn't yet know him as El Shaddai. See, here right now, some of you may be saying, but I even question some. Listen, if you question any of God's word, you've not yet met him as the El Shaddai. Once you meet him as the El Shaddai, you'll laugh, but it won't be a laugh of doubt. It'll be a laugh of, wow, God is amazing. Sarah needed to know God in this way. And Sarah's mistake is the same mistake that many of us make, and that is this. She put her understanding and limitations on the Lord. Guys, we can never put our limitations on God. Just because we can't do that doesn't mean that God can't. God can do anything. The El Shaddai has no limitations. And so again, notice it says, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Now, interesting, notice it says she laughed within herself in verse 12. It wasn't out loud. Guess who heard her? Why'd Sarah laugh? Abraham's probably going, she didn't laugh. I didn't hear anything. He says, why'd Sarah laugh? Why? Because not only did he hear her, he wanted Sarah to know his supernatural power. He wanted Sarah to know that he hears things even in the mind and even in the heart that he alone can hear and that he can speak into our life. And right now, God may be revealing something to you that only God could have known. There may be something this morning that right now God has spoken to your heart. No one could have known it. No one could have known that God was saying that or that you were thinking that rather in your mind until God revealed to you and said, through the pastor, God said something. And now you're going, whoa, that's just what I, and God said that because, hey, wait a minute. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is God doing that for you? God does that for you. And if he's not doing it today, he will do that from time to time. Why does God do that? The same reason he did it for Sarah in the tent. He wants you to know that he's almighty. He wants you to know that not only does he see you and hear everything you do, he even knows your thoughts. And he's revealing that. And again, we're going to see his grace even revealing that thought that, again, he confronts her on it, but he forgives her because her thoughts were wrong. You know, it's amazing to me, and again, pertaining to this, I've had people before, this happens on a regular basis. How do I know it happens? Because I've had people come to me and say, who told you about my situation? And I'll say, what situation? And they'll tell me, and I'll say, well, I didn't know that. Wow. Oh, that's exactly what's going on. And you said exactly that today. We can't believe it. Nobody knew that but us. I say, but you know what? God knew it. I can't tell you how many times that has happened where God has spoken. I've had people actually get mad at me thinking that I've revealed something personal about them from the pulpit. Guys, know this. I would never reveal anything personal about you from the pulpit. I want you to know that as your pastor. I would never put you in that position. But I've had people, I remember somebody came up to me one time, actually wanted a meeting with me because they thought that someone had called me and told me their situation. And because of that, they wanted to meet afterwards and say, how could you do this? How could you reveal in front of the whole body? I was like, you know what? I have no idea what you're talking about. And until you just told me, I didn't even know that was going on in your life. But now that I do know, as your pastor, I encourage you, it sounds like busted to me. And it sounds to me like you need to go to the Lord and get some things right. See, when God reveals that through the pastor or through someone else who's speaking, God is doing that for you to let you know, I'm the El Shaddai. I know what's going on. I know what your thoughts are. Now, God didn't tell me things. Don't worry. He's not a, you know, I don't look at you and go, oh. No, Lord, not her. No. That doesn't happen. But sometimes through a teaching, God will reveal something because he wants you to know, I see you, I hear you, and I love you. And the good news is when Sarah's busted here, God didn't say, that's it. You know, you're done. Out of the tent. Right, come here. This is it. I'm going to zap you now. No heaven, nothing, whatever. He says, no, you know what? No, you did laugh, Sarah, because she's going to deny it in a minute. But you know what? It's all right. It's not all right that you laughed and denied it. But the point is I'm going to forgive you. I'm showing myself to you in a new and great way. And we're going to see that she blows it because of flesh and because she's afraid. And we've all had these times where we've blown it as well. But again, we need to see God's grace in the midst of this. Notice he says, you know, she did laugh. Why did she laugh? Surely you know, saying, shall I bear a son in my old age? He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And again, that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Do we believe that anything is too hard for the Lord? If we do, we've not met him yet as El Shaddai. He goes on and says, note this, at the appointed time, I will return to you. In other words, again, we see that God has everything in his appointed time. Our problem is we have trouble waiting. And he says, according to the time of life, that is for a child to be born, and Sarah shall have a son. In other words, I said it, I'm going to do it. Although you may have set limits on me, Sarah, my limits are not by your limits, and I will do it. I've said it. I love it. God's authority. But Sarah denied it. Notice her initial response. She denied, I didn't laugh. And I wonder if you could hear it from the tent. You know, she's in the tent listening. Why'd Sarah laugh? I didn't laugh. You say, hey, Abraham, what's this? What's going on? I didn't hear the conversation. You guys are talking and I don't even know it. And the Lord says to her, yeah, you did laugh. He says, for she was afraid. And he says, but you did laugh. Now, I love it. Again, notice this. The Lord busted her in it and didn't let her get away with it, but he did forgive her of it, as we know. And because, again, we're going to see that, you know, she believes and they rejoice over the new baby that God's giving them. But notice God dealt with her even in what would be a seemingly small thing. The Lord said to her heart, no, that you are doing that. And this morning, God may be speaking to your heart saying, there's an area, here's an issue, here's the thing. Well, that's just little. No, don't say it's little. I want you to deal with it. And God will begin to expose things in our hearts that we need to deal with. Take it seriously and get it right with the Lord. And again, Sarah now realizes that indeed this is the Lord, for no one but God could have known what she was saying in her heart. And again, no one could know in our hearts but God what we're thinking right now. And God is right now searching our hearts. So here's the question for us today as we finish, and that is this. Has the Lord appeared to you today as he appeared to Abraham? As an unbeliever, it may be for the first time next to a tree with one on his left and his right. You see him now as the God-man, fully God and fully man, revealed Jehovah, El Shaddai, Jesus Christ, God in human form, come to the earth for us. And you see it for the first time. If that's your state, this morning you need to do what Abraham did and run to him and bow down and worship. You need to confess your sin and receive him as your Lord and your Savior. But as believers, if God has revealed himself to us in a new way today, as the El Shaddai, as Jehovah, as the one who even reads the thoughts and intentions of the heart and knows what we're saying, guys, we need to do the same thing. We need to run to him and we need to bow down. And if there's anything we need to confess it. But beyond that, we need to ask God to show us even in greater measure himself as the El Shaddai. That's how I want to know him. And I know that you want to know him that way as well. Let's ask him to do that this morning, to reveal himself to us in greater and greater increments, the same way he revealed himself in greater and greater ways to Abraham. I want to know him. I know that you want to know him greater. Let's ask him to do it. Let's pray. Lord, that is our prayer this morning, and that is our desire, is God, that we would come to know you as the El Shaddai, the Almighty, the one who can do all things, the all-sufficient one, the one that nothing is impossible for. And that is our desire. But Lord, we also want to know you as Jehovah. We want to know you, Lord, as God in human form, as Jesus Christ who died for us on a cross, And Lord, who paid for our sins. For the unbeliever, Lord, that may be hearing this the first time or receiving the first time, God, help them now to lay it all down, to confess their sin, to repent of it, and to receive you as Lord. God, but for those of us who already know you, and maybe we know you as the salvation God, but we don't know you yet as the personal, intimate God, the Jehovah, face-to-face God. We don't know you yet as the El Shaddai, the Almighty. God, we know that your desire is to reveal yourself to us in greater and greater illumination as each day goes by. Let us know you today as the El Shaddai. Not only the God that sees us and hears us, but the God that even knows our very thoughts. Lord, the level of intimacy. And let that be a conviction in our heart to confess before you, that we might run to you, that we might bow down, and that we might find forgiveness before your throne and at the foot of your cross. Lord, let us know you as the El Shaddai. Let us see your power in our life as a church and in our lives individually as followers of you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.